Welcome to The Grow Show, where we speak with leading business experts to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. Now, here's your host, Gary Jones.
Hey, folks. How are you doing today? Now, thank you so much for joining us on The Grow Show. Now, The Grow Show is here to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. And I have got the one and only, the storyteller herself, Sass Huntwood. And we are going to be talking about storytelling. We're going to be talking how you can really start to kind of showcase what you believe in, what you're passionate about, and your experiences. And Sass is the person to be able to kind of package all that up in a nice little bundle with her storyteller business, plus also her training company, Beyond Four, which we might tackle as well. You'll see it in the background once she's on screen. But Sass, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing? You all right?
I'm great. Thank you very much, Gary, for having me on.
I can't wait for this. We first met, was it the start of 2020? Probably around that kind of time.
Yeah, about a year ago.
And ever since then, it's been great to see kind of how you've been helping people on a kind of day-to-day basis. And I know we're in the same kind of groups, so I'll probably see it more than other people. But for the people who don't know who you are and what Sass does, or what Sass do, tell us a little bit about you. What are you doing at the moment?
What am I doing at the moment? Well, managing homeschooling whilst running two businesses would be the answer to that. So what I do, I live in Devon, in sunny Devon, with my wife and daughter and Springer Spaniel. And I run a company called The Storytellers. So it's all about capturing people's stories in and creating a storybook of their life or life events. And I also, for the last 8 years, have run a sales and leadership training company where we help individuals and companies become better leaders and better sales professionals.
In a very there's no waffling, there's no extra words, just straight to the point, job done. I love it. Have you always been a natural storyteller?
I think I probably have. I was shocking at English at school. You often hear this about great authors, not that I'm putting myself in the great author category. However, you know, great authors who say they were rubbish at English literature or language at school. And that was probably me, probably because the books we read and examined were really, really dull. But I naturally told stories because I was a bit of a clown of the class. And so being a clown, I like to make people laugh. Therefore, you tell stories. And I think I naturally kind of got into that and telling stories at a young age. And then throughout kind of my life, I've always loved reading, telling a story, seeing people's reaction when you tell a story. And also hearing great stories too.
Nice. And it's quite interesting you say that because when I was growing up, I wasn't interested in reading. No interest whatsoever. And I put that down to, as you said, the type of content that they were sharing at the time. Mm. It was only when I first started to read kind of, for me, sporting biographies and kind of the explorers and those kind of things where it put me into a whole different world to where I'm used to. That's when I started to read more and more. So it was quite interesting you mentioned that.
I think so. As children as well, it's so important. I think there's a lot more wide range of different books and comics available for particularly young boys who are traditionally the ones that don't want to read. And that to me is really important. Whatever you're reading is good. You know, it could be a Minecraft book, a book about Minecraft, but at least they're reading and they're consuming information, knowledge and language.
Yeah, I love it. And there's a quote that I always remember, Stan Lee, the comic artist, kind of inventor. He's god of comic.
The hero, the guru, isn't he?
Oh, he's beautiful. He's golden. And he says that if anybody disses you for or makes fun of you for reading comics, just remind them it's a movie or TV in that format. Because it is. It is a story being told through the pages of that particular piece.
Absolutely.
There's no difference between that and a TV programme.
And what's great about comics as well is that it has to use your imagination. You really have to use your imagination to make the characters and the story come alive because it is incredibly visual. And I think that's a great test that really tests, I think, and hooks into our creative side of the brain. I still love, reading comics now. And I love them when I was young. My daughter's really into the Beano, is obsessed with the Beano and Marvel and DC. And I think that, you know, if you can get people involved in that, God, the imagination that you can really tap into is immense.
It really is. Now, let's kind of talk about your kind of journey, if that's okay. Have you always, you know, you said you started Beyond and Fort, Beyond Fort, was it 8 years ago?
Yeah, 7, 8 years ago.
7, 8 years ago. What did you do before then? You know, how did you get to that point where you wanted to start your own company and you focused on that kind of side of the business?
Well, actually, I started off my career having left uni as an accountant.
You never guess it,
would you? Started off, I'm part qualified. Realised that actually I'm shocking at numbers and hate numbers and spreadsheets, which wasn't the best choice of career really for me. So I then fell into sales. As most people will tell you, if they've worked in sales, they've fallen into it. It wasn't a choice. And I found I was really good at it because I was really good at listening, talking, building relationships with people. And so my career has mostly focused around sales and leadership in sales. And then I ended up working for a large corporate and then ditched that, ditched my suits, gave them to a charity shop, never to be one again, and set up Beyond Thought. With actually now looking back at it, not a clue what I was doing, no idea, no product, no training, not a lot of knowledge, and no, you know, a company name, and that was it. And off we went.
Okay. So starting from kind of base roots, pretty much, you couldn't make this stuff up. So you started out, you must have had an idea, you must have had a vision for the company.
The idea came from a dinner party, as all these best things do, after several glasses of wine. But a very good friend of ours who owned his own company was having issues with his sales force, his sales team, and he sold software then. They're not doing this and not doing that. They're not picking up the phone. They're not getting enough leads. When they're having meetings, they're not, you know, building relationships. So I said, oh, well, have you thought about this and this? And I got a pen and paper out and said, oh, well, how about this, this and this? And he goes, that's brilliant. Come and train my guys. I said, I'm not a trainer. I'm a sports coach, so I can take some of that into the kind of the world. But and he said, no, come and do it. And I said, okay, I'll do it. No problem. He said, how much would you charge? And I went, well, nothing. You're a mate and I'm coming in to do a favor for you. He goes, no, we'll make this above board. How much would you charge? So the weekend, Nikki, my wife and I then spent the weekend kind of putting the bare bones of, is there a company here? Is there potential? What could we do? And that's how it was born out of that.
Love it. And so far in this interview, we've only been going for about 10 minutes, but you've mentioned the words building relationships twice. One in reference to that sales company and one in reference to your earlier experiences about telling stories. And for me, that is key. Doesn't matter what part of business you're in, whether it is kind of the sales, marketing, which is purely about people at the end of the day, where building relationships is so important. But think back to your early kind of accountancy kind of period. I'm making a leap here, but can you build a relationship with numbers? And was that kind of potentially the downfall of you not working in that field?
It could be. I was an auditor, so I was becoming chartered. So I'd spend too much time talking to people. I'm naturally nosy. That's probably why it is, and naturally curious about people. So I'd spend too much time, you know, talking to people and trying to find that one invoice rather than actually doing the ticking bashing, as it's called.
Okay, fine.
But absolutely, you're right. Because I think building relationships to me is so important. Sharing stories. That for me, you know, is sharing connection points. We share as humans, we build our relationship based on stories and those connection points. So in either business and throughout my career, it's about building those relationships using stories.
I love it. And you also mentioned about your sports coaching. And I know you've been part of some kind of high profile teams in the past. And I'm always interested by the relationship between business and sports. And especially the team environments and the lessons you can learn from there. Just wondering if you're going to kind of pick your top kind of tip in terms of, or top story you wanted to share between the sports and business world, which one would you choose and can you tell us now?
Great question. For me, it was surround yourself with a championship team, and it comes to mind. And, you know, I've played team sports, and even if you play an individual sport, such as swimming, for example, or karate or taekwondo, you're still part of a bigger team. You have a team around you. And for me, it's surrounding yourself with a championship team, because I played rugby and lacrosse, tennis recently, the last few years, and now golf. But you're still part of a team. And, you know, they all have their individual strengths and weaknesses, each team member. But collectively, you make a fantastic team. And I think in business, something I learned very early on, and I try to do everything myself. I now know and have learned the lessons that having a championship team around you who are brilliant at what they do lifts you up and lifts your organization up and your team. So that would be my kind of one takeaway.
Brilliant, brilliant. Now, let's talk, you mentioned also about storytelling, and I want to really explore this because as a kind of person in the marketing field, people, in my experience, and it must be my experience, people are terrible at telling their stories. They are absolutely terrible. And what they think is boring and mundane for other people is really, really fascinating. So why do you reckon that is? Or have I got it completely wrong and people are great at telling stories?
I'd agree with you. Absolutely agree with you. There's this level of humility I find with a lot of people. They feel it's a self-worth, self-confidence. And even the most confident, outwardly confident person, think, why does anybody want to hear my story? It's nothing special. Maybe, you know, you've had a pretty easy life. You haven't had any of these dramatic, you know, what we call quest stories, where you've gone out and come from nothing and look at you, that we hear all the time. We're surrounded by those stories. So we often think of our stories and, well, it's nothing special. But it is. And to me, I'm very passionate about people sharing their story because it's unique. Because you're unique and no one else has gone through the experiences you have. And you're rightly say, you might say something that someone picks up on and goes, do you know, I know someone else in that situation, or I've been in that situation, or I'm in that situation. And that's really given me a great insight into what I could, you know, maybe mind shift or something I could, different action I can take or behavior. And again, it's sharing your story. A great mentor of mine says sharing your story gives you connection points. It's that sharing that I'll give you a bit of me and then you'll give a bit of you to me. And that's how you build a relationship with your clients, your potential clients, your market out there. As you know, as a great marketeer, it is about sharing a bit of yourself.
It is. And the more personal you go, sometimes actually people relate to you even more, which is exactly what you said. That's perfect. When it comes to different types of stories, you mentioned kind of the quest story. How many different types of stories are out there?
No, there are hundreds, and there are probably better experts than me than will tell you. And some people have done people do PhDs on this stuff. And masters.
I've just gone down a rabbit hole, haven't I, with this?
Yeah, you have. There are so many different types of storytelling structures. You know, a quest is a typical one when, you know, someone leaves, a bit like Star Wars, and Luke Skywalker goes out and he comes back to the community, a changed person because he's become a Master Jedi. So, you know, there are different types. There are mountain type structures where you've got to climb a mountain. There's one, you know, quite an interesting one that often storytelling is used in Netflix and Amazon and films, the filmmaking industry, where they throw you into the problem already. So the first 5-10 minutes of the film, you're right into the problem, the challenge, the issue, whatever it is. And then it's about the overcoming that from then onwards. So that's that type of storytelling structure. There's forward pacing, which is about, if you want someone who's good at that, Oprah Winfrey's brilliant at it. So is it Barack Obama, about storytelling, saying what, comparing what is now to what might be. So showing you an utopia, what an alternative universe would look like, alternative approach, a story. And that's a really clever way that storytellers, script writers, filmmakers use as well. That's a really clever one.
Nice. So Beyond Four started, I'm going to get back to Beyond Four now, because this is great about storytelling, but I want to link it all in. So it started as just literally an idea after a few drinks, which, to be fair, that's the reason why we're still having this conversation now, because I had a few glasses of wine, approached the radio company, and a day later to be a guest on one of their shows, and then suddenly they offered me my own show. Hence me starting to learn how to podcast and started the radio. Started after a few drinks. So it's the start of beautiful things when it happens like that. But how has it evolved over that time? Because you say you didn't have an idea, but I don't believe that. By the sounds of it, you did have a plan. You did have experience there to be able to kind of do that. But how has it evolved over time, over the 8 years?
We've got better. I've got better. You know, I look at some of the things that I wrote, you know, 7 years ago. And we're very, you know, it's completely changed. We've adapted and evolved and serve our clients. And I think we take a lot of feedback. I'm always open to feedback. And it's so important to take that feedback from your clients about, you know, how well you're doing, what can you improve on? And we've always looked at that, you know, we're always looking at how we can improve. So I think we very much base our training around fun. Fun has got to be number one in the training. Whether we're in a training room physically or online using, you know, something like this, it's all about having fun, interaction, not death by PowerPoint, because I sat through too many training sessions going bleep, bleep, bleep. And I'm like, oh, And you're trying to get your phone out and surreptitiously just check Facebook while you're in training session because you're bored. So I wanted it to be fun. I wanted to be interactive. Yeah. I wanted to take the people. And that's what we're about, is about that, you know, we've brought the sports angle in it, competitiveness, and having fun with our clients whilst also helping them develop themselves as well.
Nice. And have you got a particular type of client you love working with, or do you find that you can work with pretty much most kind of types of organizations?
Most types of organizations. On our sales side, we work with anybody from who's got a never worked in sales before. So maybe you've taken on a new person and they're very green and like apprenticeship, through to really experienced sales professionals. And on the leadership side, we have programs where we do leaders of today. So really experienced leaders, we work with them. So leaders, you know, you're looking at succession planning and you're looking, right, this is someone, a rising star, I really want to nurture as a potential leader. We'll work with them as well on different programs. We just launching a new platform, a new community online where we can bring everybody together and all our content and help, you know, really support people, you know, during those, you know, in those two areas.
Brilliant. And do you find that most people have the same issues?
Yeah, I would say we work with different industries. Typically IT, the technology industry and financial services is where we're kind of well known, but we have worked with different industries. Yes, I would say there's a lot of, and particularly this last year, there's a lot of common themes and issues and challenges you have, whether in leadership or in sales. You know, leadership, as we've seen, being an owner of a company or a CEO, an MD or a head of a department, just had to change your leadership style this year, really dramatically. I've never seen in the 20 odd years I've been working, a change and adapting as a leader that we've had to see in the last 12 months.
So the follow-up question to that has got to be, if you've seen a big change in the last 12 months, where can you see leaders of tomorrow being compared to now?
I would say there's a couple of emotional intelligence. We talk about it in learning and development. It's a kind of a guru's word, but it's so important. Empathy has got to be up there as a leader. Flexibility, innovation. If leaders are thinking that life is going to go back to how it was pre-2020, I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. You know, the workforce has moved on. We have moved on. Actually, productivity has shown to have been a massive increase this year. And, you know, the UK has one of the lowest productivity per employee in Europe. Wow. We have definitely increased our productivity, flexibility, innovation, different ways of working. I think it's given leaders an opportunity to go, what is our strategy? Let's completely reinvent things. And I think if you don't capitalize that on a leader, as a leader, you're going to get left behind.
That's interesting, because a lot of conversations that I've been having over the last probably year or so before all this happened and kind of recently, what I've seen is a lot of people had the ideas beforehand, but this has given them the opportunity or the motivation or just the need to do it because they've had to been forced to be able to learn this stuff. And whether that's just learning how to go online, whether that's learning how to use Zoom, whether that's a new communication tool to contact their customers, whatever it is, they've all been kind of had to, I don't want to say the word forced, but they've had to change to cope with the circumstances. And there's part of me, only a very small part, because there's been loads of devastation, loads of sadness. So I'm not going to kind of say, dispute that. But for innovation, this period could be classed as a golden time for companies to kind of take that step. And that's no disrespect to the people who have been hurt or been kind of affected by it, because this has been a horrible, horrible time. But for innovation, just that singular point, I think this has been a golden era for that.
I'd agree with you. And if you look back at history, I was reading a really great article last week, and you look at 100 years ago. So we look at the Spanish flu and coming out into the 1920s. The 2020s will be a period of great build, I believe. I'm not, again, an expert in this, but I believe a great period of growth, innovation, I think creativity. There will be a need for people to come back together. And through that, as you rightly say, I think this period of time has either forced people to make changes because they've had to through necessity and need, or given the excuse almost to go, okay, actually our company's doing pretty well, but let's try this because we're doing quite well, we're stable and we're surviving and maybe growing. Let's try something different that we haven't been able to do before. because maybe we've had constraints put upon us internally and by the market. So I think, yeah, so whatever period of time, and you're right, you say it doesn't take away from the horrendous situation a lot of people have found themselves in. And it has been hard and it has been challenging. We found, you know, definitely hard and challenging last year. But I think you've got to look to the future and go, what does the future look like?
No, I love it and I agree. When it comes to, there's only one more point that I kind of want to cover, and that's kind of social media and marketing as a whole. Because you, please, please correct me if I'm wrong, but do you look at marketing in a slightly different way to most people when you look at kind of see the posts and see the stories that people are telling in terms of looking at it and going, oh, okay, that could be what they mean, but actually that's what it's come across as? Or are you seeing it as, oh, wow, that's a good post?
I'm not a linguistic expert. So I would say that some people will look at those posts, some posts and most social media messages and go, oh, there's linguistic programming in there, or, you know, the words are not saying this. I'm very fortunate. I'm an actually good writer. However, when I look at a post, I'm looking for what they mean behind it. So I'm always listening to their tone of voice. Even if I don't know the person, I'm looking for the tone of voice behind the words, behind what's the overall message they want to convey, not necessarily getting tied up into the words they've used, the structure, the grammar, punctuation, all that. I'm looking at the list. I'm trying to hear their voice is what I'm trying to hear when I'm reading a post.
Gotcha. And do you think when you're kind of doing that, do people make some kind of mistakes in your opinion?
Yeah.
And are they really easy corrected?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people try to be someone they're not. So they try and copy experts, what they would class as experts. And that's great. I do believe you should model the masters, you know, look at who's great and maybe a new industry and go, right, okay, what can I take from them? What have they worked? What not worked? However, it's got to be your own voice. And I think sometimes people make the mistake, particularly in social media, you get them on the phone, they talk completely different to what they are. And so you must find this in your podcasting, Gary. And they talk, that is not the person I thought you'd be, because your social media, your marketing messages are just not, it's not congruent to who you are. As an organization, it doesn't matter what size of organization you are. Every organization has some kind of personality. And I think that tone of voice has to come through in all your marketing.
And is that the key to storytelling?
I think so. Being genuine. I always, when I tell people about writing stories, whatever story, and using their own story or stories of clients that they've helped, it's got to be true. It's got to be genuine. Unless you're writing fiction, that's fine. But make it clear that you're writing fiction. I think it's going to be true, genuine, and your own tone of voice.
Love it. Now, we've been talking for a little bit of time now, and I want to thank you for your time, because this has been fantastic, and we could talk forever and a day. This is, you know, it's one of those interviews that I'm gonna have to kind of cut to stop now, because we can just carry on. But before you go, I've got to ask you two things. And the first thing, and you've already given loads of golden nuggets all the way through the interview, so thank you so much for those, but if you're going to share one thing, one big takeaway, one thing that people should do today to make a difference to their lives, what would it be?
Capture those stories. Capture the stories of your loved ones and you. Write them down, record them. We're using technology such as this, you know, Zoom and FaceTime, WhatsApp. You can record it now. Capture it, write it down, because those stories and memories are the things we leave behind. And they're so important. So please record them somewhere. Write them down.
Brilliant. And if people want to find more info about you as the storyteller, as well as Beyond Thought, and how, as SAS, you know, where are you on social? Have you got websites? This is your chance to throw them all out there.
Okay, so you can find me on LinkedIn, SAS Huntwood. There's only one, so you don't have to go searching through loads of people.
Makes it easy.
It's easy as that. Or for, you know, I'm on Twitter, SAS Huntwood, and then Storytellers and Beyond Thought. They both have Facebook pages. You just look in the Storytellers or Beyond Thought, LinkedIn or on Instagram.
Aces. Now, we're going to have to get you back on for another show at some point in time, or maybe talk at Grow Life. We never know. We'll see what happens. But thank you so much for your time today, SAS. And all of those kind of social media links, websites, I'll put in the show notes as well, just to make it as simple as possible for people to find you. Because we haven't really spoke about the storytellers a little bit. You alluded to it, but we didn't really talk about it that much. So actually stuff it, fire out. What is the storytellers?
We capture people's stories in a storybook. So it's the memories and stories that sit behind the photos. So remember This Is Your Life by Michael Aspel. Yeah, the big red book. It's like that, but on steroids.
And what a great note to end this interview on. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for watching and listening. Everyone take care, and I'll see you next time for the next episode of The Grow Show. Bye-bye, folks.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. With new shows available every week, if you know anyone else who could benefit from these powerful insights, please share this podcast with them. And don't forget to subscribe.